Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. And free speech, of course, cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. As far as the payment options, right now we're still in the process of transferring accounts. So please don't make any, don't send us anything made out to RBN, Republic Broadcasting. If you do send anything, just leave the pay-to line blank, basically for money orders or checks in the mail, or if you want to send cash, until we get that resolved. And again, we hope to have that resolved soon and hope to be able to start taking card payments again soon as well. The other option, of course, though, is PayPal. We have PayPal operable. You go to our republicbroadcasting.org donate page and hit the PayPal button right there, no problem. We can still accept those payments. Please help folks during this transition phase regarding ownership and getting bills paid and everything. And we should be able to continue broadcasting all of this great information, all of these great guests, and of course, a platform for you, the listeners. You can make out, if you do want to mail anything in, you could send that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you have any questions about your options regarding sending payments, you can call us at 800-724-2719, extension 3. And again, we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And that being out of the way, I do have a returning guest here with us today, folks. Today I have Mr. Jayant Bhandari here with us once again. Now, for those who may have missed the previous broadcasts with Jayant. Jayant is a globe-trotting institutional investment consultant who has amassed extensive international expertise and experience in the mining and natural resource sector. Runs a yearly seminar in Vancouver, Capitalism and Morality, and has published numerous interesting analyses on political, cultural, and social issues. Jayant, hello, sir. Good to have you here again.
Thanks for having me on, Richard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Always a pleasure. And yeah, right before the holiday over here in the U.S., and it really is a time of year where the books are, at least for everyday people, I mean, economically speaking, you know, finances are really a focus for them. I understand it's more like in the springtime for businesses traditionally when they file and just assess everything. But this is certainly a great time to have you on. I think just before the holiday, your expertise being in economics. And well, I don't know. You know, I have a few things that I am a bit fuzzy on. Maybe you could clarify for myself and the listeners today. And basically, though, I mean, the biggest question I'm sure everyday people have is how bad is this inflation going to get? You know, I mean, the cost of living, we have had all of this COVID relief money created out of thin air. And of course, now we've had multiple oil pipelines shut down by Biden. Those two things alone. But then, of course, the employment issues with the COVID mandates and supply chain issues related again to COVID and lockdowns and shots and as some of the factors there. I mean, there are a lot of things at once. And so and, yeah, as much as your focus is all over the place internationally, I mean, here in the United States, for everyday Americans, regarding inflation, I mean, how bad can they expect things to get? Would you project or estimate in the next, like, say, 1 to 2 years?
Richard, it's so difficult to know what is coming in the future. And the reason is that we have never had this kind of trillions of dollars getting printed in one go. The U.S. has been printing trillions and trillions over the last few years to give away free money to people who don't want to work or who are discouraged from working. The end result is that we have really no clue how this money is going to flow. What we do know is that inflation will continue to hit the market because this cash will circulate in the market. And because people are not working in the economy, and or let's say fewer people are working in the economy, and because salaries have gone up, to encourage people to join the workforce, we will have a stagflationary environment where you will have rising cost of doing business because you have supply chain problems and you have discouraged people from working in the economy by giving them free money, which means that the cost of productions across the board will go up, and then you will have inflation at the same time, and you will have people unable to find jobs because they won't be productive enough to be employed in a stagflationary environment.
And I hear, a lot of the disconnection has been maintained throughout all of this regarding the stock market. Compared to just, everyday Americans and the economy that we're dealing with, it seems very disconnected. I mean, what they're expecting from the future regarding the Fed, I'm told, is some of the reason why they have such a euphoric disconnect, which has been maintained. I mean, I'm told that currently, as far as the stock market is concerned, it's overvalued based on every metric you could try to measure things on. And so, I mean, right now they're doing quantitative easing. And what I understand needs to be done is for rates to be raised by the Fed. Actually, the Fed should be abolished completely for that matter. But as far as what we can expect to see at the moment, not what should be the case as far as what is just. But and so first, could you explain this quantitative easing? Because evidently this is helping the big corporations and hurting everyday people.
The Federal Bank keeps printing money, and this money keeps flowing into the hands of the people who are elite, who are in position of power, people who are extremely rich, and big corporations as well. The end result is that this easy flow of money does not really necessarily help the economy, because the people who get the money are the people who are well connected. And as a result, over the last 10, 15 years, inflation hasn't really hit the market, mostly because a lot of this free money, the easy money, has ended up as bonds in the hands of people in power. However, things have changed over the last 1.5 years because a lot of cash has now started to go into the hands of the people who are unemployed or who have been discouraged from getting employed, which means that inflation will hit the market over the next few months, over the next couple of years. So the quantitative easing that we have followed over the last 10, 15 years has changed its nature, because now that money is actually going into the hands of the people who actually consume, who actually use that cash for consumption purposes rather than just buying bonds of the Fed. So you will have inflation going forward, and this is what quantitative easing is, which is nothing else than printing cash.
Okay, all right. And as far as the raising of rates that we always hear, you know, mulled over. If the Fed raises rates, as far as that's, well, that's in terms of the banks, the big banks, and if they raise rates for them, it takes a more realistic toll on them, as far as the value of the currency, which we use as well. It generally helps out the everyday people when they raise rates. Is this correct as well?
Well, depends on who has debts and who is a creditor in the market. Unfortunately, a lot of people are heavily indebted, which means that when you raise the rates, it means that interest rates payable by those people who have taken on flexible mortgage rates or who have taken loans from the banks will have to start paying more money, and the governments around the world will have to start paying more money to service their debts. So raising rates is not an easy thing to do, because when the governments, for example, the US government has trillions and trillions of dollars of new debt, if the rates go up, the servicing cost of that debt will go up as well. So I am firstly not even sure if they will increase the rates, but if they do, it will create a huge amount of crisis in the market. Although I have to say that that crisis should come, because without that crisis, a cleaning process won't even start in the economy. This paper currency system has destroyed the economic structure of the world. We don't know what produces wealth and what does not produce the wealth, because we are printing money and we are giving away that money to people who are undeserving, which means that monetary power continues to go into the hands of the people who might be undeserving. And that has created a huge amount of economic problems, structural problems in the world.
And a lot of these people are also so-called justice warriors, social justice warriors, and want to change the world, you know, in their image. I mean, especially when I think of philanthropists like George Soros or Bill Gates, when these people get an increase in their wealth, even the largest corporations, though, are so politicized now, and they do have a far-left sort of ideology. So I don't know. It seems like the corporations have a much stronger influence over the government here in the United States. It's just much more obvious, at least in past decades. I have to hope, you know, that we can have this that you described, allowing for a correction. Otherwise, it will just get so out of control. But some say that, for various reasons, we would never have the sort of conditions, you know, you hear about extreme conditions like Zimbabwe, you know, and then the currency, even in Weimar Germany, the value of the currency going so low. Some claim it's because the dollar is tied to petrol on the world market, or it's the reserve currency. Others claim it's not so much that, but just the influence United States has. I don't know. What are your thoughts on, you know, could it ever get as bad with the United States dollar as some of those currencies?
Well, no, Richard, and there's a reason behind it. Firstly, the US dollar continues to be among the better currencies on the planet. Now, it sounds strange, but the fact is that other countries print as much or more than what the US does, and other countries don't have the confidence of the market. So that's one big problem with the rest of the world, which means that US dollar will continue to be one of the better currencies. And also, Richard, what has happened over the last few decades is that virtually all our money has become electronic money. So unlike what happened in the early part of last century in Germany and elsewhere, or in Zimbabwe a couple of decades back, they had paper currency. We don't have paper currency anymore. So you might have a few million dollars in your bank account, but because it's not in cash form, overnight the government can freeze your accounts. And that is actually a very huge risk for a lot of people. Banks are very risky these days. Your bonds are very risky because governments can actually freeze your accounts very quickly. And that is why I think people really should consider diversifying their cash by holding their cash in different countries, in different jurisdictions, because your government can any day freeze your bank accounts, and then you will be at the mercy of when they allow you to take that money out. So yes, the kind of inflation that happened in the early part of last century, or what happened in Zimbabwe, is unlikely to happen in the US because the governments will just freeze your accounts.
I see. Okay, so the government and its currency would survive at the expense of the serfs, if you will.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I should have assumed as much, really. Well, and then I mentioned the oil pipelines getting shut down. This green agenda. I noticed at the meeting, a lot of the so-called developing countries rejected any requirements or expectations for the future. The one article I read claimed that was headed by China, Iran, India, and South Africa. But, I mean, it seems like they see through it, you know, the whole climate scam, really. Because the sun affects the cycles we go through. We're actually moving away from a warming period into a cooler period. The Maunder minimum is the one sun cycle, and I believe there's another one which overlaps as well. But CO2 and just fossil fuel demonization, it's been a way to control power and wealth, it seems to me, more than anything. And I don't know. Do you have the same impression?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Richard. And this climate agenda, the top-down climate agenda enforced by naive and simplistic people, is mainly going to increase the cost of doing business. And when you increase the cost of doing business, you just make everything less efficient. Whenever you make anything less efficient, you actually increase pollution more because you are processing everything more. You are adding transaction costs. You are increasing the bureaucracy of doing everything. The end result will be that cost of production will go up, and that will again add to inflationary and stagflationary environment. And again, it's not going to help the climate issues, because when you increase the cost of production, you will worsen the economies around the world. And that's actually happening across the world today. So this whole so-called green agenda is actually in practice anti-green agenda.
Yes. And I'm glad at least that, well, those countries are seeing through that. I've heard a large amount of, well, there were, I'm told, up to three leaders of nations who, regarding the lockdowns and the PCR testing, the concerns over COVID, had sent various samples that were simply swabbed with, I know in the one case it was a piece of fruit. And it's amazing that we've had positive samples come back from that. But I mean, no, we've had leaders die, you know, and it seems like, you know, some of them have been taken out, in some of these countries who don't even seem to believe the PCR test justification for the lockdowns, a pandemic without widespread disease and death. And it does seem like the countries of Africa, who haven't had many vaccines, are left without these leaders being able to explain it away. A lot of the countries that have had the most vaccines actually have had the most deaths. We're seeing that more and more. And yet there's a strong resistance only from the so-called developing world, and a lot of these issues, much less trusting, you know, of this global system that is in place. But you know, anyone who gets out of line, it seems, doesn't last long. And as far as the banking industry, I mean, we only have a couple nations, right? Like Iran and I don't know, as far as the private central banks control. What do you see regarding the energy factor, people being able to resist? Because it seems like they're trying to transition. They have pandemics as a control mechanism now. But what if that doesn't last forever? It seems like they want to bring in the green agenda before anything fizzles out from people's concern over the pandemic, just to justify all of these. They're talking about climate lockdowns, seriously, in countries already.
Richard, I'm currently in India, and the only 29 or 30% of Indians have got two shots so far. But COVID has virtually disappeared from the scene here. People don't wear the mask. Every place is crowded. And it seems that people are not actually worrying about COVID anymore. People are not actually getting COVID. The number of cases that the whole country of 1.4 billion people is getting is about 11,000 cases a day, which is actually really nothing in the scheme of things. So you are completely correct in saying that countries in Africa and other poor countries haven't really suffered as much from COVID as countries that are heavily vaccinated. So here we have a huge dilemma, which I think authorities should try to explain to us. And they have, from what I see, completely failed to explain to us. Now, really, Richard, what we have today in the world is very naive and simplistic people ruling us. We have an anti-meritocratic system called democracy electing our rulers, and they have created institutions and structures that enable incompetent people to rise up into positions of power. And that creates a lot of immoral behavior in the society that gives a wrong kind of feedback to individuals. People who are smart, because they are not necessarily in positions of power, are forced to behave in ways which are what is called a rationality trap. They do what is good for them, but that might not be the best for the society. But because we have erroneous institutions, we give wrong kind of feedback to people. And as a result, we have this climate agenda. We have these strange lockdowns to do with COVID, which are outrageous when you compare the lockdowns and the harm to the economy and the health of the people that it's inflicting. When you compare that with the actual death rates as a result of COVID. So I think we really don't have people in power, experts and rulers, who can weigh the pros and cons properly, because they are not smart enough. They are very naive, simplistic people.
Well, it's all too convenient then for, I don't know what to call them, elites seems like a compliment, is undeserving. Predator class, again, you know, why should we define things in defeatist terms? But definitely there's a parasite class at the top, you know, this 0.01% or less. And so they certainly have been moving things along where all the leaders, you know, everyone of all of these so-called developed countries are just, like you say, completely bribed into, well, I don't know if they really were inclined to give much critical thinking to matters to begin with, but certainly have been coerced through their positions, through their paid salaries and various other perks. And it seems like meritocracy is just getting completely destroyed as far as the social agenda we've seen up until now. But I mean, you know, things are really starting to hurt people on an individual level now, economically, and also in the West, for that matter. I mean, the cultural attack I mentioned with like the critical race theory and the gender conditioning. I don't know. It's quite a lot at once. And as I say, with the holidays approaching now and the amount we've already dealt with this would be like the third winter already of COVID. And I don't know. It's like I have to have hope for, the critical thinking minority among the masses. But I don't have much hope for a large amount of the population that they're going to wake up because, well, the technology and just the indoctrination level is really working against they're having a chance. It's hard for me to be positive today, I guess, Giants. Maybe you can help out here.
Well, you can't be positive, Richard. And the reason is very simple. The people with merit are not in positions of power anymore. We don't have elite who are natural elite these days. And that means that we tend to do more wrong things to correct prior wrong decisions. And we are, as a result, in a vicious cycle, at least outside East Asia. I still see East Asians doing a lot of good things. But outside East Asia, we are in a vicious cycle. We are destroying our capital. We are destroying the Western culture in the Western societies. We are becoming increasingly immoral in the Western society. We are becoming hedonistic. We have given up so much of the goodness that we had in the Western society. And this is happening because we don't really have a natural elite running our institutions. And until that changes, until natural elite come into positions of power, we will continue to be in a vicious cycle. So unfortunately, Richard, you are completely correct that there is no reason to be hopeful in the Western society today. There's no reason to be hopeful in the third world today. Because we have wrong kind of people running our institutions. And the only thing you can do right now is something very selfish, which is to protect yourself. And the one area that I continue to be positive about is East Asia, Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, China, Singapore, and Hong Kong, because they continue to be big believers in meritocracy, a concept that they likely imported from Europe, but they have retained that concept, and they are very merit-oriented people.
Well, we have the break coming on in a few moments here. In the second half, we can take some callers today if any of the listeners have any questions, want to hear any economic perspectives or otherwise from Giant. And I would like your advice, Giant, on planned local communities and your economic advice. If people have to manage that more and more, could be the case with all these mandates. But well, we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with my guest today, Jayant Bhandari. And Jayant, and folks, if you want to call in with questions for a Jayant, 512-248-8252, if you have the minutes and long distance. If you don't, 800-313-9443, but we prefer 512-248-8252. And before we go to the phones, Jayant, a lot of us around here lately have been talking about, living outside of these mandates and vaccination control mechanisms in the future, even if it means just trying to live near like-minded people, knowing a lot of local farmers, to get your food from, engage in a lot of bartering. And I can't help but think that could involve some sort of local currencies or the equivalent as along with the bartering. The first things that come to mind, of course, would be like gold and silver pieces, especially small silver, perhaps. But I don't know. In general, on that topic, what advice or thoughts do you have for people?
Richard, I have done a lot of traveling around the world over the last 1.5 years, and I think the U.S. continues to be among the freest countries on the planet. Americans are instinctively more liberty-oriented people than you come across anywhere else on the planet. So I think, indeed, big parts of the U.S. will resist mandates that are being enforced by the federal government. However, I must say that restrictions on traveling are increasing across the world now. A lot of countries have enforced vaccine passports. You can't go out to restaurants, you can't take planes, you can't visit countries if you don't have full COVID vaccinations these days. And increasingly, they will ask for booster shots as well. Richard, in a very strange way, the world is becoming a very tyrannical place when it comes to COVID vaccines. And as we both agree, it's not so much about COVID as it is about trying to control lives of people and lives of people by people who are really naive and simplistic rulers. So strangely, U.S. will have parts within itself which will avoid mandates. But also countries like Mexico and many of the third world countries will have no mandates on vaccination passports. So strangely, you might find freedom in the U.S. and you might find freedom in some of the third world countries, but you must still learn to navigate the lifestyles of people in the third world.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's all very good to hear, inspiring, at least from your perspective and everyone you've interacted with. It's hopeful, and I would like to see such communities I mentioned start responding more and more, really let the pendulum swing away from the insane push toward a centralized control, a digitized centralized control, no less. And, well, in general, not allow these, if anything, the acceleration that these globalists have been pushing things at, and just the amount of different directions, well, just with COVID restrictions on top of an already increasing strain economically, and consolidation with the big box stores, and well, this trickle down policy then getting extended, of course, to the COVID relief. But it is definitely inspiring that the spirit, I don't know, in America is strongest with the independence, with the individuality, that there'll always be pockets of resistance, and in these other parts of the world you mentioned. It is good to know that. I don't know why we don't already have more protests here like we do in Europe. It seems like people are more, I don't know, is it like the other topics, you know, such as like the racial issues with the critical race theory and the political polarization that people kept distracted by? I don't know. Are other topics misdirecting Americans more than Europeans, or have not enough people been compromised in their comfort level?
I don't think so, Richard. Look at Europe. Austria is now enforcing 100% vaccination on its people. So America hasn't had that kind of mandate so far. So there has been less of a reason for Americans to protest against their governments in terms of government enforcing compulsory vaccination, whereas in Europe, Australia, and in Canada, the governments have got away with a lot more stringent enforcement of vaccination. So there might have been more protests in those countries, but those are, in the scheme of things, a very small number of people protesting. And even if they have protests, they actually have a reason to protest, or a bigger reason to protest than what Americans have had. So again, I don't think Europeans are more liberty-minded people. I think Americans continue to be the most liberty-minded people on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I think of us holding on to our First and Second Amendment this far along, in that way. But I mean, I just in the past already even going back before COVID with the Yellow Vest movement in France. But like you say, yeah, the inconvenience on their everyday lives hasn't been nearly as much a toll here yet. And that plays a big part that I'm not factoring in enough. I guess there's plenty of potential. And I did hear even in Austria, police and military are joining in with the protesters, and they're not willing to enforce this new lockdown. And one article, from one source at least, there was an article. I didn't confirm it, with a few others yet, but it that's pretty positive. We have a caller, Dan in Washington. Hello, Dan.
Thanks for taking the call. Good show today. I did the math when they did the COVID relief. I think it was $6 trillion. And I just roughly divided that between every American. And it was about $15,000 for each American. And, very little of that money actually went to the people. So it's like it's a weird spot because the average person really isn't getting, it's hard for the average American to get any help from the government. So they're putting a lot of small businesses out of business. The money is definitely staying at the top. Maybe it's better in other countries like Australia. They are actually paying people not to work. But
well,
I
hey,
don't
Dan,
see
you...
that here.
Yep. Well, Dan, you for the listeners or giant who might not be aware, Dan here is a truck driver. He drives a big 18-wheeler, interstate transportation of goods. And, I mean, Dan, do you have any questions, related to the international component, related to the supply chain bottlenecks and the things truckers like yourself deal with and what we were reading about the ports on the West Coast? I mean, you're based in Washington, but you're all over the place. You have a good question for Giant that kind of relates to your industry as well as economic.
I definitely think there's a plan to mess up the supply chains, and I agree that there will be inflation. My call was about pulling out of Afghanistan and how America... If you read the book 1984, a lot of people say that book's actually a plan. So the reason America always has to be at war is to get rid of excess money, like the money printing is one of the reasons we haven't had massive inflation in the past, because they've been burning away like $12 billion a month in Afghanistan. So I just wondered what your guest thought about, I don't know if he's ever read that book or what he thinks of war. Like, I think pulling out of Afghanistan will also probably cause inflation in America in a way, because they've been, it's one way the U.S. government gets rid of excess money. I just wonder if he ever looked into that as far as constantly a war.
Dan, I am a big fan of George Orwell. I did read 1984. And I think, trying to impose American ways of living on people who are completely alien, as people in Afghanistan are, is completely stupid. These bureaucrats, naive, simplistic bureaucrats sitting in Pentagon or in Washington, think that they can impose democracy and assume that such a democracy would lead to positive results in Afghanistan is grossly stupid. Remember that Americans who are relatively more understand educated about what happens in the Middle East don't actually want to have democracy in, let's say, Saudi Arabia, because they know that if Saudi Arabia becomes more democratic, it will actually become more tyrannical, more dogmatic. And so has been the case in Turkey. So you have to let, you have to stop trying to enforce American ways on these people. But at the same time, Dan, what is important to remember is that the world is stable, or whatever stability that we have in the world is because of the U.S. U.S. does police the world and ensure that some sort of liberties and rule of law is enforced around the world. So there are two sides of the whole thing. One is that America should avoid getting into these international wars like they did in Libya or Afghanistan. But at the same time, people around the world should be thankful to America for policing the world. Now, it's not the job of Americans to police the world, but given that they do it, they do keep the world relatively stable. But that actually also means that as America becomes less and less eager and financially capable of policing the world will become increasingly chaotic, particularly the third world countries. When we talk about democracies and governments and whatever we have in the third world, that is not because of the institutions or democracies of the third world. That is because of the fear of America. So America, people around the world have to be thankful to America for the charity work that Americans do, but Americans should actually just try to avoid it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we were in Afghanistan I don't think that they're really trying. They might pretend to try to push democracy, but I think they were doing a lot of opium smuggling to help prop up the financial system. There's a lot of, and I think just to burn away money is kind of my view of Afghanistan. Being there, I think we were there over 20 years and spent trillions. I almost think the point is just to get rid of excess money so we don't have inflation here. And to do
Yeah, well, Dan, really, Afghanistan is stable only as long as people like Taliban run that country. You can't really have Western institutions being able to manage and keep a country like Afghanistan stable. The institutions, the Western institutions in the third world have no value at all. I mean, as I said, Dan, I am currently in India. Everyone here takes a bribe. I mean, you go to a government office here, and right from the lowest person in the government office to the very top person in the government office takes a bribe. You have to bribe every single person. They have no moral consciousness. And without moral consciousness, these Western institutions don't work. There's no policing because you just bribe every policeman. There's no court system because you bribe every single person in the court. So these Western institutions, trying to enforce these Western institutions on the third world simply does not work. It did not work in Afghanistan. It did not work anywhere in the third world. You have to let what is natural to these people emerge and keep these societies stable. Unfortunately, it won't look good when you look at them from America, because Taliban kind of people will be running the third world. But having Taliban kind of people running the third world is better than having Western institutions not managed by Western people being enforced on these third world countries.
Okay, that's good. I agree with those points. And I guess we'll see what happens with the... What do you think of this great reset, because Putin gave a speech and said, this COVID, like you're saying, like if you take Australia, for example, to pay people, shut their economy down, they've basically doubled their national debt. And do you think the plan is to get these countries to double or triple their national debts for some reason, or... and then that will cause inflation, or what do you think there's the economic, what do you think the plan is there to get these countries in debt more, for what reason?
Yeah, well, Dan, I think lockdowns have really nothing to do with necessarily trying to increase the debts of these countries. The lockdowns have been a result of the fact that our rulers are just naive and simplistic people, and they really can't take decisions. So what they do is that they copy and pasted what they saw started happening in China. Now, China never really had a nationwide lockdown. China put Wuhan into lockdown and a few other places into lockdown. Beijing never went into lockdown, and most of China never faced any lockdown. And China emerged out of lockdowns after about 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, last year in August, China was all virtually completely open. So, but what happened was that our leaders like Justin Trudeau or, you know, Australian politicians did not really have their own minds. So they just simply copied what they saw China was doing. And China emerged out of COVID very quickly, but we continue to enforce lockdowns around in the Western society.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's I was just in Seattle area, and it's the people love. It's almost like they love to wear the mask, and they get into that. And it is. I agree. It's a psychological.
Well, yeah. So Dan, one great thing about being a truck driver is that you operate in the natural space. You know, you understand causality. You know, cause and effect. So many of us in the urban environment work on computers in offices. We don't really operate in a natural environment. We also have become very comfortable. So we have become quite removed from how the universe works. And these people just want a utopian future. They don't want any risks in life. They want to reduce death rate to zero. We are all going to die, though, but they don't want to and accept that we will all die. So we have created a very unnatural kind of culture in the, particularly in the urban environment, particularly among people who are so-called very well educated and who are earning big bucks, because they're so far removed from nature.
That's a good point.
You're right.
For saying that.
And with the transhumanist movement on top of everything, yeah, it replaces a spirituality. But like you say, Giant, people aren't content with themselves, wouldn't be comfortable dying because they're not even comfortable with how they're living. And always trying to escape death and can be lured in by the technology of the control system. But, yeah,
thanks. All right, I'll let other... callers get on. Great show, and have a good day, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, we have a few minutes left. I don't know, we had a caller drop. I'll see if he's able to call back, but I don't know, Giant, if you just want to expand on what we've discussed today for the remaining minutes, the floor is yours.
Well, Richard, we were talking about this Great Reset and the One World Government. One thing interesting that I now consistently see is that East Asian countries are resistant to these the Great Reset. And that is one of the reasons why China is so much hated by the Western media today. And now, we should always remember that Western media has nothing to do with Western civilization. Western media is the leftist, feral, anti-civilizational force in the Western society. And they don't like China because China is not interested in a one world government. They are not interested in the Great Reset. And that is one of the reasons why actually think that a lot of people dislike China for the wrong reason.
I had a message here from one of the listeners I know, and I can't remember if I've asked you about this before. Are you familiar with what Catherine Austin Fitz has been talking about the last couple of years, starting with her, especially with her Planet Lockdown documentary?
No, I haven't. I don't know about that documentary.
Okay. Okay. I mean, she's basically framing the response to COVID as primarily something that the private central banks are using to consolidate further centralization. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. Perhaps I could send it to you. You know, send a link to the video, and then like next time you're on next month, we could chat. Get your feedback on it, because I mean, she is an investment banker with Solari, mm-hmm. is the name of her corporation. So mm-hmm. I'd love to hear just your thoughts after hearing some of what she has to say on this. But well, you certainly see how there are a lot of opportunists. We've had even more so since all of this COVID response has come about, and then a lot of agendas competing for power and control in the wake of at least the initial declaration of pandemic.
Well, Richard, as you rightly said, we have created a predator class because we have removed natural elite from positions of power. We have an anti-meritocratic system, and in any anti-meritocratic system, you will have psychopaths rising up into positions of power. And in a democratic system, these psychopaths are actually quite spineless as well. I mean, look at Justin Trudeau or Biden or Kamala Harris. These are not just psychopaths, they are very spineless as well. We really have horrible people running our institutions in the West as time has gone by. And this is in a vicious cycle. There's no sign of an improvement. I do hope Trump comes back to power in the next election, but that will only be one step forward after so many steps backwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about out of time here. It's always a pleasure. And maybe around the next holiday next month, we could have you on again, sir. And everyone out there should know your website, giantbhandari.com. That's spelled JayantBhandari.com. Thank you so much, Giant.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Richard.
Oh, and I should make an announcement, folks, that during the next hour, the RBN network may go down for a few minutes between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. Central, changing internet providers. But it don't worry, we'll be back in it. Just a little reset we need to do there. So please donate to the station, folks. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.